Off the Ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.
You just heard his voice, Dan McDonnell.
Hello.
He's in studio. How are you?
Good, not too bad.
So, finally, there's a report. There's going to be many reports.
Some governance.
But there governance. You love a bit of governance.
A bit of governance, yeah.
Governance is what you get off
That's
on these days.
People sometimes talk to you about, you know, do you go to the matches or what do? What's your job entail? I'm like, nah, if you want to get involved in Irish football, you need to be passionate about covering governance. Governance-related matters.
Well, you're going to get a lot more governance to cover, I suspect, over the coming months.
Summer of governance.
And years. Thank God there was no major tournament to cover. Would have been a bit of a nightmare.
Yeah,
no,
they timed it nicely for an odd year. Yeah. Because it was all timed, of course.
Oh, all timed. Beautifully.
It was all part of a wonderful
plan. Could have overshadowed everything if it happened this time next year.
Yeah, can you imagine, really? Yeah, I don't know how that would have worked out. I mean, as it was a difficult enough one for the FAI when they had the under-17 finals here, and there was the whole... Whereas Delaney, what's happening, style of things. And when you think about it now, there was a draw like at the start of April before John Delaney had voluntarily stepped aside, where he was the UEFA guest at the draw and was gushing praise, I think, from Donald Conway as he introduced John Delaney. And now there's obviously, well, he can't even say his name.
Literally, can't say his name.
Well,
So what we're talking about here, by the way, in case anyone missed it yesterday, was the launch of the FAI's Governance Review Group report, which outlined 78 recommendations. Those recommendations, which include wholesale changes to the structure of the FAI board and the FAI council, they now need to be voted through by a two-thirds majority at the FAI AGM at the end of July. And at the launch of that Governance Review Group report, Donal Conway was there yesterday. So an opportunity, probably one of the first opportunities.
I think it's the first time he's been open to press questions. I think he spoke to Tony O'Donoghue from RTÉ outside Abbottstown one day, but in terms of a question and answer session, this was the first.
So what you're saying there, and we'll get into the various parts of the report and what we learned yesterday about what's happening. Hmm. In terms of John Delaney, questions about John Delaney were totally off limits.
Yeah, well, this was an event, as I said, you mentioned it there. This was the Governance Review Group report set up between the FAI and Sport Ireland. This was the launch of a 130-page document. So, with 78 recommendations for changing the power structures of Irish football, effectively. So I think it's fair game to ask questions about the most powerful figure in Irish football prior to the process that instigated this sort of coming together of individuals to craft this document.
John Delaney is still the executive vice president.
He is still the executive
vice president. Officially on gardening leave?
I don't think they've actually titled it that way. I mean, the term is he voluntarily stepped aside. The press release on the day we were all at camped out in that hotel, it was a voluntarily stepped aside was the word, and he remains... to the side, stepped aside. He remains on the payroll. The FAI,
is that confirmed?
He's been paid. The FAI will not confirm at what salary he's been paid. But, I mean, John Tracy confirmed it in the Dáil one of the days that he's still on the payroll. So, I mean, John Delaney has voluntarily stepped aside. There is reviews ongoing. Like, John Delaney hasn't been sort of charged around thing or found, you know, as though there's been any wrongdoing here. Like,
there's
investigations and there's a procedure
that needs to be gone
ongoing.
Through.
So, and the FAI really aren't even entertaining questions about, like, naturally there was attempts yesterday to ask about John Delaney, his position. You know, was he consulted? Where does the role of executive vice president stand, given that we had a governance review early this year that looked into this topic?
That recommended a executive vice president role.
This is what we needed. The one thing Irish football had lacked was an executive vice president. So this important figure was going to deal with our business with FIFA and UEFA and the Aviva Stadium and all of this stuff. So
touched upon in the report at all?
Oh, there was no reference to it.
There was no reference at all.
So
as part of these recommendations, if they go through and there is this complete overhaul of the FAI structures, will there be an executive vice president role?
There does not appear to be an executive vice president. I mean, I did ask that question yesterday. What does it mean?
What was the answer?
We can't really talk about that employee. You know, we can't. No, I'm not talking about the employee. I'm talking about the role. Like, what's the story with the actual role? But, I mean, the argument was made that you're just trying to cloak that question in different language. And I mean, maybe that's possibly the case. But it is a valid point. I mean, like, the board of the FAI unanimously approved the Jonathan Hall report that laid out, now it was the night of the Gibraltar game. We were there, of course, you know. I mean, yesterday's release was in Abbottstown, a big green document, you know, 130 pages, people invited to a launch. Slightly different to the previous governance review, which was released
by 10 minutes after a match.
Or senior management review was the official title.
Okay.
So, there was naturally questions to that end that were batted away. It has to be said, and they weren't willing to entertain it. But it does appear that he will be.
Perhaps legally, the FAI are taking the prudent option here that, as you say, John Delaney, there's due process to go through here, and they need to let that play out.
I suspect that you're completely correct with that. And, you know, when asked about that, even when asked, is this on legal advice, the FAI would not respond to that question. I'm sort of speculating a bit. I think that's obviously the policy that they're taking. They're just not going to take any questions on it. I think they probably know that they're going to get a kicking from the public over that, because everyone wants the soundbite from the FAI about John Delaney. You know, people want people to talk about some things that happened and to maybe be critical of some things that happened. Now, that criticism is implicit in this report anyway, but just not by name. Or, you know, it's referring, and not just to him, you know, the previous regime, whatever happened. But as I said, like, the board of the FAI previously unanimously approved that particular report, but they've also approved this one. So, I mean, it's fair game that they're going to be asked about it. I think they know they're going to be asked about it. I think they have to take the kicking of being asked about it and not being able to answer it. And maybe at some stage in the future, we might get a few more satisfactory answers about what's gone before, whereas this is very much trying to look ahead. But I mean, maybe it's just social media and talking to people. And like, I think that the public aren't going to fully embrace looking ahead until they satisfactorily see enough distance with what's gone behind.
No, and that probably plays out when you look at today's newspapers and their analysis of yesterday. The headlines, there's very little about the reform that could potentially be coming in the FAI. The main headline is about the debt on the stadium, and we might hear actually from Donald Conway, the FAI president, and Aidan Horan, who was one of the authors.
He was the independent. See, Sport Ireland nominated three independent people to sit on their governance review group, which constructed this document. There was two people from the FAI, Ria Walsh and Niamh O'Donoghue, and then three from Sport Ireland, and Aidan Horan from the IPI was the chair.
All right, so here's what they had to say about the debt for the stadium.
That relationship between the FAI and Sport Ireland now, obviously there was the pulling of €2.9 million funding, which, you know, it's only the second time in history the FAI's state aid has been fully cut off. But that relationship between Sport Ireland and FAI, how is that relationship at the end of this review governance process?
There's always been a relationship between Sport Ireland and the FAI. I think it has certainly improved over the last number of weeks. There's constant contact between Sport Ireland and the FAI. A lot of that would be from John Tracy to me as president of the FAI. If you look at what both the Department of Sport through the Minister Shane Ross has said and what Sport Ireland have said, the link is between governance and funding. And I think in the wider sphere of sporting bodies, that to me has always been the link. Funding is linked to governance. So adopting this report and setting us on that journey of having absolutely top-class governance addresses the issue of funding and the relationship. So once July comes and our members adopt that, I would like to think that that improves even further our standing with Sport Ireland and the government, and then the benefits that may accrue from that would be the restoration of funds.
It was brought up today during the question and answer session with gathered journalists, but the question of the FAI debt, I know that's something that had been targeted for 2020. Is it your view that that process will now be prolonged further as a result of this and other issues as well?
The commitment to pay down the stadium debt by 2020, that commitment does not stand now. I mean, and that has been discussed and agreed at the board. It is better for the game that we repay that mortgage on the stadium over a longer term. That means that in any one year, other money is available to support the game, money that we would have used to pay down the debt. So there's no... The commitment, as I say, or the sense that we'd be debt-free by 2020, that's not a target, that's not an aim. anymore.
So this was something that John Delaney spoke about at every possible opportunity for the last 3 or 4 years, this possibility of being debt-free by 2020. And now we're looking at least another 10 years?
10 years and further was the line that was used in the chat with the Daily newspapers, and it's reported widely today.
And has that been agreed with the banks?
Just the context of the financial picture here is probably important to clarify. Donal Connolly spoke, and he alluded to it there, but maybe, you know, he spoke about it. Maybe a few more questions were put to him in the Daily section, that at the moment UEFA are in with the FAI looking at their overall financial picture under the umbrella almost of everything. And there's a lot of internal fear that I'd be very much aware of, and also, you know, discussions that have taken place between FAI people and other people to suggest that, yeah, listen, the financial picture isn't good at all. Now, at the most recent FAI council meeting, Donal Conway did address the room then and tell them that the 2020 date for being debt-free was gone. But at that point, the suggestion was maybe another 5 years might be pushed out for. And to be fair, I remember being on here one time with Joe and I think Kieran Cunningham speaking about the debt situation, and we couldn't really understand the rush to be debt-free by 2020, that there's nothing to be afraid of, you know, in terms of debt when it comes to spreading it out to
facilitate the FAI's investment. Mortgage.
Yeah, exactly. And I always felt, and again, it's just a personal opinion, that there was an element of pride, I think, in the debt-free 2020 plan, because
but when UEFA rocked up for Euro 2020, the FAI would be able to stand there and say, let's pay it off.
No, not quite that. More so that when the Aviva Stadium ticket scheme was botched, basically, when they failed to sell enough tickets, and that really left, you know, the plan to fund the stadium was the 10-year tickets. There was very bullish language used about how this would all be sold off and would almost be like a pension for the FAI. When that didn't go so well, they were left with a bigger debt burden than they would have anticipated. There was always going to be a debt burden, but when they didn't sell enough tickets, they were left with a really big one. Like at one point, I think the bank debt was, 70 million quid. And around that point, under firm questioning, until they stopped doing press conferences around the AGM, the big theme from the top would have been, we'll be debt-free, we'll have this all paid off by 2020. And I think there was an element in the language from John Delaney in recent years, you all said we wouldn't be debt-free by 2020, but we will. Now, and then the last 18 months, that changed a bit to, we could be debt-free by 2020 if we want, but obviously we will decide whether to be, like it's almost like we have the power to decide whether to be debt-free. My understanding now would be they don't have the power to decide to be debt. They can't. It was 29 million last year, the stadium debt. They can't just pay that and take the consequences. They just can't. Like, you're talking about getting around 10 million safety net from UEFA to help them out. So the change in language here, it's not so much that they're pushing the debt back, it's that it's now 10 years potentially more, which explains the need, really, or highlights the pressing short-term concerns that exist. And as you said, you mentioned about after the banks agree, but I don't know. But I would assume that that's part of the process here with UEFA. I think, like, when you hear words like sustainability and they're looking at plans, like restructuring, or that specific word wasn't used, but sustainability was, and that type of thing, there are cutbacks coming. I just don't know in what form they're going to be. There's a bit of speculation, and it might initially be some external costs and, you know,
contractors
and stuff. You know, could they have people in house to do some stuff that they're paying, you know, consultants to do, that type of thing. But I mean, they do have a workforce of a couple of hundred people, and you always are afraid that when you need to, you know, cut costs, that there will be people there that will be vulnerable, and you don't want to be breeding fear.
Well, I was going to say, yeah, it's obviously an incredibly worrisome time for so many people in the FAI who are at different steps of the ladder,
100%.
Many of whom are not on big salaries, who are reading about this in the paper day in, day out, and understandably are also looking at the figures. As you say, it was probably, what, last August that the FAI had their last financial briefing and released the results. And like now you're saying, when you think about it, that they were going to pay off a 29 million euro debt on the stadium by 2020, and now that's been pushed back 10 years, and like, you just wonder, does anybody right now know the actual financial state of the FAI?
I wouldn't be so sure that they're fully on top of it. I think that this is probably a natural process that ties in with everything we're hearing from the reports. You know, the even the governance review group report talks about, you know, the various checks and balances that need to be implemented, and, you know, the structuring of committees. Like, they need an internal audit system. You know, the things weren't running in the way that they should have been. And the language in the report is polite, but it's also almost damning, really, in a way. So, you know, from what I hear from people is that they actually are just coming to terms with it and really trying to get a handle on it. And of course, you know, the other biggest, not the biggest complication, the debt is the biggest problem, but the other complication that's been inherited is the cost of all these reviews that are ongoing. They're not all costing them money, but there's a legal bill which is substantial and mounting, because they still have to, in the ODCE case has still got a bit of road left to run in it. There's various reports and investigations and stuff that these bills are mounting. Like, sometimes, you know, sorry to call, like, we'll have a Euro 20 qualification race coming up in the autumn, and we will do stories about, you know, 12 million boost for the FAI as they qualify for the Euros, or whatever it might be, if they qualify for the Euros. You know, of course, now, you know, big chunk of that is taken up by bonuses and whatever it might be. But I mean, now there's no positive spin on this. It's like, it's just all going into, it's paying off your debts, you know?
Yeah, and those debts are obviously, the main one is the stadium debt. UEFA have rode into town and have provided a fund that seems to help support the FAI and get through these initial months. Is that money that the FAI are ultimately going to have to pay back to UEFA?
Well, that there are questions that need to be sorted out. I mean, UEFA do have quite a lot of money, and they do have the facility to help out associations. But, like, it is a fair point. Is some of this money front-loaded money? Is this, like, they do have, like, funding programs, you know, and I think at times over the years, the FAI have tapped into UEFA. They did have, like, you know, John Delaney and people there that were well got in UEFA, in the sense of being able to probably get to the FAI up to the front of the queue for this and that or whatever. But that's a question, to be honest. The answer to that is, that's a question. I mean, one of the people that UEFA have sent in is, like, their top finance man. Like, this isn't, like, they're not sending in, you know, the intern or the number 8 or 9 in the office to say, will you go over there for a while? Like, they're sending some of their top people in here, which would suggest that they're treating this very seriously.
Which is absolutely understandable, I guess, as well, when you talk about Euro 2020, that if they are handing over 12 million in prize money to the FAI in a year's time, they need to know where that money's going to go.
Yeah, that's true. I guess so. And now that they're fully appraised, or it would appear that they're going to be fully appraised of the situation, you know, maybe they can look at the FAI, and there will be things up for renewal. Like, there'll be TV deals which are centralised now that would be, you know, paid in, like, 4-year instalments or whatever. And it may be a case that some of this money is front-loaded money. That it's not a case that you pay it back. It's just a case that you may be getting it earlier than some other nations, you know. And so by 20, you know, in a couple of years' time, you need to be on your own two feet to not be able to be reliant on that money. But again, there's an element of speculation about that. I'm not sure how they're managing this finance. The suggestion was that they were providing financial support to help them out. And, you know, under UEFA's remit, they probably have a certain duty of care to member associations to be seen that they're the ones who help them out, rather than the alternative, which is some kind of government taking a heavy role in it. That's why UEFA and even FIFA want to be the ones to the forefront of this, rather than the situation that the government do. And as Donald Conway said yesterday, and this is a point, and obviously the relationship between Shane Ross and the government and the FAI is very good at the moment. I mean, UEFA funding is probably, like, you know, something like 25-30% of the FAI's income,
whereas which they were keen the government, to point out, I think, that day when they sat in front of the committee, that the government's actually government
five,
fundings.
Yeah, it's like, you know, so it's a couple of million quid a year. I mean, it's still important money. And the thing is, the angle really that's significant with the government for me is not so much the state funding, although that still goes to very important projects, but it's also tied in a small bit with these capital projects. And that's the stuff that's really damaging. People are waiting for Daly Mount. People are waiting for Glanmire and Cork. People are looking at Finn Harps and, you know, important projects around the country that are in danger of being held up by this. And we'll maybe move on to it a bit in a couple of minutes about, like, they have to vote this report through.
Yeah.
And what is the argument that you hold over people who may not be mad about some of these changes, because it could mean the end of their time in officialdom, but do they want to be seen as obstacles to preventing reforms going through which might facilitate grant funding and all of that becoming available again.
So what yesterday probably proved as all these reports come out, the five, six, what, is there eight reports going to be there's in total,
there's some reports, some are investigations. Like,
but
yeah.
Either way, the storyline, no matter what of the contents of the report, what people are going to be asking at these press conferences are about John Delaney and his position,
yes,
and the financial situation of the FAI and everything else. And maybe actually the general public aren't overly interested in the makeup of the FAI board and the FAI
council.
No, I think
that's fair.
Even though, ultimately, if people want this huge sea change in Irish football, that it's this nitty-gritty sort of stuff that does need to change.
Well, what created the situation that existed?
Mm.
What created the situation that existed was the structure that was there. Like, it was the system, it was how the board operated, it was how people were elected to the board. Like, there was a line in the report about there needs to be a robust culture of holding to account in the FAI. Again, the implication is that it wasn't there. And if you look through, yeah, you are right, it's, you want to simplify it for people and not drag them into the nitty-gritty of it. But really, like, ultimately, like, the board is the most powerful body in the FAI. And what we had was a situation is that the chief executive was on the board, which would not be necessarily something that would be advised, but take the chief executive out of the equation here, the other places on the board were just basically filled up by people who'd come through a committee system. It was almost like a reward for service. Mm. Like, you've done your time, you've worked your way up the administrative ladder, and like, when someone new joined the board, like, the language in the reports, you know, the language in the coverage or in the press release would be like, well, this is great, you know, after 20, 25 years service to such and such a league, you know, they've graduated to be on the most powerful decision-making body in the FAI. Decision-making body, which, as I pointed out again yesterday, this is an organisation with a turnover of what, about 50 million quid, and people who've come through that system are tasked with making big decisions. And you have a situation, with all due respect, where you have a Dáil committee and you have an honorary treasurer who doesn't know how many bank accounts the association has. That's
the conflict an awful lot of sporting organisations face when it comes to these committees, that who volunteers for these roles? You work 25 years, you dedicate your life to it.
Yeah, they've given good service.
You want something at the end of it. But as you say, these are now essentially companies that need to be run.
Yeah. So what is basically, so what has changed now? So what will change is that you're going to have a new 12.
Let's hold that because we need to take a break, and it is worth actually going into. And we'll play a little bit more audio from yesterday as well. Just an update on the GAA at the moment. So the All-Ireland qualifier, the first of the second round qualifiers, Kildare lead Antrim 9-3 in Corrigan Park. 28 minutes gone in that one. And in the Christy Ring Cup final, heading for half time, it's Meath 2-12 down 2-8. So quick break. 53106 is the text number if you have any questions. Almost half time at Corrigan Park. Kildare 12 points, Antrim 6 points in the second round of the football qualifiers. And in the Christy Ring Cup final, there's now 47 minutes gone. Cracking game. Meath 3-13 down 2-13 is the latest score. Lots more Gaelic games to come throughout the afternoon between now and 6 o'clock. But Dan McDonnell of the Irish Independent is in studio. We're talking football. We're talking governance.
Governance.
Saturday afternoon. That's what it's all about.
I hope there's still people
who are
still with us.
Back? When's the football back? So 78 recommendations, essentially radical changes to the board and council of the FAI. We've spoken at length about this over the past 2 or 3 months, and we had Aaron Shearer in here, barrister.
Yeah. A couple of months back, ex-League of Ireland player,
who had sort of looked into the FAI constitution and what could possibly change and this radical overhaul that I think most people involved in Irish football want to see. And his point at the time was, well, when it boils down to it, turkeys are going to have to vote for Christmas, that the council themselves are going to have to vote to essentially change their role, eliminate themselves, and whether or not that was going to happen. And I think that was the exact line you used today as well.
Yeah.
We've now hit that point.
That's where we are.
It comes down to the FAI, 60-strong FAI council, that if there's to be real change in Irish football, they're going to have to accept that their role changes or ends.
Yeah. I suppose, trying to put it simply, at the two main power bodies in Irish football, you have the board, which was 11 people in March. It's now down to 7. And of those 7, I mean, they all said they would step down at the AGM. It now appears that maybe 1 or maybe 2 will stay on for another year. And that's
how will that be decided?
They're going to meet in the coming weeks and decide who stays on. That's possibly a subject we can discuss again on another day, because, you know, there's obviously, we'll see who it is, right? But anyway, so those 11 are down to 7, and by next year they're pretty much all be gone, it would appear, unless one or two try to make a comeback in some shape or form. Below that then you have the FAI council, which is, yeah, there's 58 people on the council at the moment. A lot of them, I don't have the specific stats, but in fact it's hard to find on some cases how long they've all been on council. But you're talking about sort of reeling in the years collection of Irish football administrators. If this proposal is voted through, which needs a two-thirds majority at the AGM, if it's voted through, anyone who's been on council for 10 years or longer, they can only do 3 more years on council, and then they can no longer serve on council. Now, for some people, like, that it would be a dramatic change. Like, there's people there that are 20, 25, 30 years. We've had statements from some of them. We've had comments from some of them in the weeks after, I suppose, this story broke initially. And I mean, the question was put to Donal Conroy yesterday. I mean, this is a challenge. The FAI are now going to go on a roadshow effectively around the country and try and sell this idea to people who have the power to vote, to basically say, can you approve this? Whereas with some people, you're effectively saying to them, can you approve this? Because, but if you do that, by the way, you're gone in 3 years. Now, as I said sort of before the break, like, people who oppose that plan, like, they're going to be open to accusations of self-interest unless they give very good reasons why they don't want these reforms to go through. And as I said, like, you know, when you have state funding and sponsorship and other things that are in limbo and cold storage here while this isn't resolved, then it's going to be hard for those people to go back to their, you know, to the people around them and say, well, I voted no to this because of this. However, like, are some people happy with these reforms? This is a talking point. I mean, John Early left the board earlier this week. He's the chairman of the Schoolboys Association of Ireland, Football Association of Ireland, and he said he was unhappy with some elements of the ongoing governance review.
Well, let's actually hear about that. So okay, the chair of the governance review group, you saw him earlier on, Aidan Horan, was talking about the departure of the head of the SFAI, John Early.
During today's launch, the increase, the current 58-person FAI council will potentially see an increase of 21 seats to 79, which will accommodate supporters, players and schoolboys. I know at the moment the schoolboy representation is just under 7% of that 58-person council. How will the schoolboy reform be implemented in that 79-seat council? And I guess, what elements would John Early not have been happy with? Is there...
I suppose, like, if in the report we talked about increasing the council by 21 to make it better, more representative, shall we say, also to bring on board supporters, to bring on board players who traditionally have not had a voice, and we thought that was important. We absolutely recognise, and we as a group recognise, the importance of schoolboys, yeah, and schoolgirls. And what we are proposing in the report, which again was issued, yeah, is an additional 4 members. So if you look at the current constituency from schoolboys, this is adding an extra 4 to their grouping, yeah. That's giving them, I suggest, a greater voice on council, and something that I assume they would want to embrace. And we're recommending that they embrace it. Look, this report has 78 recommendations. There are many areas on this report, yeah, that people might like to embrace. There are many areas in this report that people might consider are difficult. But I suppose the issue is to read them in the round, see what's coming forward, and look and see, is this a reasonable, well thought through process? And we've asked, and I've said that everybody needs to reflect on this, and seriously reflect, and determine what they need to do in the interests of the association. And so that's why the work that's to be done in the next 5 weeks, I suggest, is not in any way to be underestimated. And I would have thought, for the governance review group, the work we did the work to now, but actually the real work is probably starting from now on.
Yeah, so that was Aidan Horan, the chair of the review group, talking about the departure earlier this week of the head of the SFAI, John Early, because of some of his concerns about the changes to governance.
Yeah, so, like, as I said, beyond self-interest, what will the concerns be for these people? And there would be a view that maybe a parish that was represented strongly before may not have the same representation at the top table that it did. And that they have to construct that point. I mean, I certainly, like, I've heard vibes that, you know, that it might still be a challenge to get enough votes through here to actually get this passed.
So they need two-thirds.
They need 140 out of 206 delegates at the AGM.
So say members of that council who were involved in schoolboys football.
Yeah.
Will they, if they vote for this, have any role, the individuals involved, the actual individuals, will they have any role in the FAI going forward? Will they be able to reapply under this new structure to be involved?
The people that are there at the moment.
Yeah, right now.
Well, see, we're going to see how it all pans out because, the FAI board now, the top 12-person board of the FAI, which was previously made up of like a president, vice president, and chairs of various committees, as I mentioned, that have come through very, you know, there would be an international
representative of the league.
Representative of the league, you know, the League of Ireland one, National League Executive, then there would be the Underage Committee, which John Erdy was chaired up. There's like an international committee. But again, the people who headed up a lot of these committees were long-serving people from, you know, around the country. You know, with the age profile and gender balance would have been sort of very skewed in one particular direction. What we have now is that the FAI board is going to have 12 person board with four independent directors, including the chair will be an independent presence. And then you have the president, the vice president, and there's going to be six nominated directors. Mm. Now, the six nominated directors from within football, and also, sorry, four need to be female of the 12 within 2 years. So the six nominated directors will come from constituent parts of the game, but I think the League of Ireland will do reasonably well, but it's possibly a bit unclear as to where the other people will come from. Or certainly, it's not so much that it's unclear, it's just that's maybe the proportion of lifers who've come through the committee system is going to be much smaller. And below it, then, what we have is two new groups. And there's going to be, it's like the Football Management Committee is one group and the Judicial Bodies is the other group. And the Football Management Committee is going to be more closer in personality to the current board that's there now. So that's going to be the route where you have people, you have, like, you know, the chairperson of the Underage Committee, chairperson of the International Committee, all these various, the National League Executive, Domestic Competitions, Women's Football Committee. Those people are going to be in the football management one. Mm. And what they won't have any say in now is the other one, which is judicial bodies, which that's all the issue of finances, auditing, almost what I said before, like business decisions of a company with, you know, a turnover of X amount. And also, you know, the people that will be on the top board will also have, you would imagine the independent directors will have more of a business background to make high-end.
So what you're looking at now is a new top-level committee with, this all going according to plan, with a high level of expertise in terms of running a business and running football in the country.
With some football representation as well.
And below that, then you'll have two other committees. So that football side of it will meet. There will be a big body of people.
Mm.
And then they come together with recommendations to bring to the board as to where they spend their money and where investment should go.
Yeah, exactly. And some people on that football management will be on the top board as well, but it's just a smaller proportion. It's just that they're going to be, you know, certainly the parish has been weakened. There is scope as well to nominate like three co-options onto that football management committee as well. So there could be more independent people on that. There might be an argument that the players maybe should be represented in that football management committee. They've got two seats on council, the players, but not on the football management committee as well. So there's possibly tweaks and stuff that needs to be done. But really, the point is, the long-serving, you know, football official after 20, 30 years who got a seat on the board for service, they'll now more so go onto that football management committee. They're not really going to...
Oh, will there be terms of service on
board.
That?
Yeah, there is terms laid down. I probably need to get through the whole document to go through it. I mean, the board now is going to be 4 by 2 years. So 8 years max. Whereas prior to that, I mean, like, there was notional term limits there, but they weren't really being applied.
The language used then from Donal Conway of trying to sell this is that I would be very seriously concerned for the FAI if this report is rejected.
There's no plan B, was the line.
So that's the sales pitch.
Hmm.
If you don't vote for this, we have no idea what happens next. UEFA, FIFA, get involved and they'll put in whatever structure they want.
Yeah.
This is our one opportunity to some way control what the FAI looks like for the next 10, 20 years.
Yeah, like I'm not so sure about like using that language that there's no plan B. Like, I understand that that's like trying to lay it on heavy and say you have to vote for this now and approve it. But I was interested, someone did ask towards the end yesterday, like there's 78 recommendations in this. Like, is it all 78? Mm. Or is it, okay, what about we like 70 of them, but 8 of them need a bit of work. As I said, you could, there's certainly, I think there's some unhappiness about maybe the division of positions on some of those committees and stuff. So really what you would, now this came, I would say, on the back of, like, there was submissions from the football world. That's what informed these decisions. But you would think there needs to be more of a consultative phase to go, well, actually, we quite like this recommendation here, but do we, you know, can you explain that
really
one a bit
for
more?
The AGM's in what, 6
AGM,
weeks?
Yeah, the AGM. Now, they are talking about an interim board to have all 78 recommendations through, they're talking 2020. They're not saying they want them all through, like, straight away. There is a bit of an interim period, but I mean, like, gender balance is a significant part of this. They want that 33% represented at all committees. I mean, you consider at the moment that the FEI Council is 58 and there's two women on that, and you're looking at getting to, like, a minimum of a third within 2 years. That's like a substantial change. My slight concern about that, I've certainly no issue with the concept of gender balance. I think it's a very wordy debate to have, and certainly you look at the profile of the room at FEI events and it is very striking. However, like, you know, there's been references to, like, some people that have been there and around the game, women involved in Irish football for the last decade, that gender balance shouldn't preserve their position. Like, they are also should be held to account for stuff that has happened over the last decade as well too. You know, they can't just be in a situation, well, we desperately need to get our quota up here, so, you know, we'll keep her. Like, that, to me, leaves you in a slightly, that would weaken your position in terms of that. So you could argue that aspects of that, some of those targets are possibly ambitious within a short space of time. And is there a freedom to have a bit more discussion about some of the detail?
So what's next?
What's next?
What's the next report, Dan?
Well, I don't know what the next report is. There's Mazars, who are professional services, looking into the finances. The next couple of weeks, the board have to decide who's going to stay, from who's going to put themselves forward to be in that interim board.
Conway said yesterday that he's not going to see out his
four-year term.
But he's only a year into it.
Yeah, he didn't rule out staying for another year. You know, there's seven people, and I think some of them want to stay. I think some of them are definitely committed that they're going to go. But really, like, the AGM is July the 27th in Trim. They need to go around the country and have a roadshow, as I mentioned, or whatever you want to call it, and try and sell this to the people. You know, sell this to the people that can vote. And so they will determine the timeline of this. And also, you said, what happens next? In the next couple of weeks, they said they're going to have the results of their internal financial examination of the situation. So there might be consequences from that. There might be announcements over, you know, that those dreaded measures that might have to be, austerity measures that might have to be taken. So this isn't going away.
While you're going around trying to sell this to the grassroots.
Yeah. And I think some of that, I mean, Donald Conway said that it's a judgment call that they go out there and they try and sell it. He says, I know the membership, there's a credibility there. They might get some grief back from people. They're saying, well, listen, you were on the board. We were on the council, but you were on the board. I mean, you were in a much better
position. Why are we having to
stop? You were in a much better place to stop maybe things that happened rather than we were. You know, we elected you to go forward. Now, you can certainly debate the rights and wrongs of this. I mean, there wasn't exactly people standing up for elections, robust elections, to try and challenge and push for those places on board. But I think that there is, like, there's going to be some friction. There's no, absolutely no, that's going to be friction. So, look, this isn't going away. If people have been bored by this topic, I apologise. But the issue of FEI, the issue is of FEI governance. Like, it is important. It is a chance to get it right. I mean, there's other stuff going on, like, you know, All Ireland League and Cross Border League. We haven't really had a chance to go into it. There's a lot to sort out now, but none of it can really be satisfactorily sorted out until this is resolved, sadly. Like, you can't really get stuff done until this is clarified.
This is the time for change. The change that people wanted, there is, unfortunately, a long, complicated process involved in that. You have to go through it and hope you come out at the other side with the right result.
Yeah, yeah. And, like, the time frame, there's an element of still, it seems to be a bit of a rush. They're trying to push it out a small bit. And you're trying to
that AGM is set in stone.
Yeah,
that's happening. And
you're trying to tear up. Like, you're trying to tear up, like, it's something that's existed for a long time, and is very hardened in terms of how it operates. So, yeah, there's more.
Off the ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.